Happy primary day. Welcome to Skeeter Junction Polling Place. First 100 voters get a free slanket. Here's yours.
Awesome. I got dump cake frosting all over my old one.
Have you voted with us before?
No, I came here because a Yelp review said the ballots smell fresh, the brisket is tasty, and there's insane clown posse on the jukebox.
All true. Let me tell you about our specials. The market catch of the day is a tandoori spiced sea bream. It comes with basmati rice, it's $12.99, and counts as a vote for Kasich.
I feel more like a sandwich.
Today we have the Calgary Cubano. That's roasted pork, pickles, cheese, and Canadian bacon. It's $10.99 and counts as a vote for Cruz.
This is so confusing. I really like Kasich, but I hate rice. Any more specials?
Yes, we have a small, unspecified animal, charred beyond all recognition.
Who would order that?
Trump voters, but only if the meat doesn't touch the falafel or the taco sauce.
I'm not sure how I feel about the new voting. Maybe I'll go back to my old polling place with the optical scanner and the pickle barrel. Meanwhile, get ready to hear from our citizen observers. And now he's challenging the no-pants, no-voting rule in federal court. Colin McEnroe.
That's how I like to vote. All right, so years ago, I think like in my old job, I think I'm the old radio station I used to be on. I think Bill Heald, the gentleman biker, and I invented this idea that because I get really excited on days when we vote, whether it's a primary or a general election, I get excited and you want to do something and you don't know anything. We don't know how things are going to come out. We have no useful information whatsoever. But so I thought this is years ago. I thought, well, let's just explore the feelings that people have about voting, you know, and what they saw and what they heard. And it's also a way that we could have people call in just in case, you know, a rabbit chewed through the power cord of an optical scanner in Winsted or something. You know, we could get that news on the air. So we invite that to happen as well. But we call it the Citizens Observer Program. But I feel like I'm still not quite in the right mood to do this. So can I have a fanfare? How about a fanfare? It's the Citizen Observer Program featuring Secretary of State Denise Merrill, Jason Mnuchin, Lara Herskovich, Josh Pollack, Charlotte Ross, Michael Motion, Mark Saunders, Lenny Grimaldi, and your phone calls. That's right. Call 860-275-7266 and be a Citizen Observer. Okay, so now I'm more in the mood now. That's good. I feel better. So this is something that we as I say, we've done many times before. Some of the people who are doing this today, a couple of them anyway, are veterans. Three of them are veterans. They've done it before. And then we're introducing some new people as well. But we thought in general, just to kind of take the temperature of the state and find out what's going on in terms of turnout or anything else you might need to know, we should, as we typically do, check in with the Secretary of State. That would be Denise Merrill. And so she's joining us right now. Secretary Merrill, welcome to our show.
Thank you very much.
So what can you tell us so far? I mean, obviously, turnout statistics at this point in the day are going to be kind of ragged and anecdotal, but give us some ragged anecdotal turnout information.
I'm hearing that in some parts of the state, like I heard Bridgeport, it was a little lighter than they expected. I'm assuming the rain has something to do with that, but when I say that, I also realize that expectations were pretty high because we had such a huge voter registration. So who knows? But in other parts of the state, it's quite steady and quite heavy. So, for example, West Hartford, I heard there were a lot of people turning up. So I'm still predicting it's going to be a very high turnout.
And talk about that voter registration again. This is a lot of people registering in between January 1st and essentially now. Like how many people again?
93,000 new voters since January, and I would attribute some of that to the new online voter registration system because a lot of the people who registered were under 30, over 50% of them, and a lot of them came in online. So that may have had something to do with it.
Right. And how about, do you happen to know how many people switched from unaffiliated to one of the parties during that time? Because that's sort of another influx of voters who wouldn't have voted in this primary.
Yes, I don't know that exactly, although we can tell that most of the voter registrations were brand new. So, I don't know how much switching there actually was. Probably quite a bit, but I don't know for sure.
Some people have asked about the uncommitted choice on the ballot. Can you explain that?
Yeah, isn't that interesting? It's been there always, but no one ever noticed it. There is a line for uncommitted, and anyone can vote for uncommitted in either party. And what that means is you're going to be voting to send the delegates not committed to any particular candidate. So if you vote uncommitted, it means you're not telling them that they have to stick with any particular candidate in your party, that when they go to that convention, they're wide open.
So you just want a free and easy, freaky delegate. I have a hard time understanding the incentive for this, but I guess people like to have a lot of choices, maybe.
Well, you know, a lot of people like to think that they can vote for sort of none of the above in a way, and wait to see what happens, because in this case, particularly the Republican convention, anything could happen.
Right.
Donald Trump doesn't come in with the requisite number of delegates, you know, anything could happen. So.
Right. And this, we should say that after today, this is kind of all out of your hands. The parties figure out how they assign delegates and stuff like that on their own. And in some cases, they may have to be almost inventing a process that they didn't have before. The other thing that we wanted to know a little bit about, I think there are probably a lot of people thinking, because they're in general elections, they've heard about same-day voter registration, that they think that they can do that today. What's the reality of that?
Yes, there is no same-day registration on primary day, and that's unfortunate, actually. Our original proposal would have made it for both, because it is confusing if you have it sometimes and not others. I mean, it is only for those people who, you know, for whatever reason, didn't get around to registering, but frequently it's also for registrations that are messed up for whatever reason. Sometimes it's clerical error, and you might get there and think you're registered, but you really aren't because someone put you under the wrong name or, you know, something got typed in wrong, that sort of thing. So we have no way to fix that if we don't have same-day registration, which we don't.
Are there provisional ballots? Can you do that?
Yes, you can still do provisional ballots.
All right. So we are obviously voting all the way through 8 p.m. tonight, and then John Dankosky and I will be on from 8 to 9. I think you'll be joining us for a few minutes of that as well, right?
Yes. Should be interesting.
So far, no glitches, no voting machines have blown up, no rabbits chewing through power cables or anything like that.
Well, no, nothing major. I mean, we've had the...
See, when you say that, you make me look, nothing major. Now you're making me nervous.
Well, you know, we did have one machine, I think, that malfunctioned somewhere, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. I mean, I can't say that nothing has gone wrong. That never happens. But
right.
It is remarkably smooth, let's put it that way.
Right. Like, you're doing better than Frontier Cable right now. I think that's maybe a benchmark.
Thanks.
All right. We'll talk to you tonight, Secretary.
Okay, great. Thanks.
All right. That is Madam Secretary Denise Merrill. All right. Now we're going to talk to you folks out there, people. And this is we're going to begin with something I'm pretty sure we've never done before, because typically what we do on this Citizen Observer show is explore the experience of voting. Betsy Kaplan, however, came up with an interesting idea. What if we talk to somebody who's not able to vote today? And this is somebody who's actually been on our show in the past about other things. Jason Newshin is joining us. He's a resident of Hamden. Welcome back to our show, Jason.
Shalom, Colleen, John. That was a little Farsi for you.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for inviting me.
So explain why it is that you can't vote today.
Well, I was born in England, and I hold a green card, so I can't vote.
And so that must be, I mean, obviously you know that you can't vote. You were born in England. You have a green card. But on a day like this where, you know, the fate of a lot of people could conceivably be affected by the outcome of a day like this. You're watching people vote all around you. And as somebody with the background that you have maybe even more of an interest or a stake in the way things turn out than a lot of people might. It must be kind of an odd feeling.
It is. So I guess I can say that my wife votes for me.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I can remedy this for the next election.
As you're thinking about people voting today, as you're maybe even watching, I think you actually live maybe fairly near a polling place. What are you thinking about? What are your worries? What are your thoughts?
This has been such a complicated election season. I look at both sides, and frankly, I don't know where any of the candidates are going to take the country, because it seems that the Democrats are fighting each other and the Republicans, well, that's a complete mess.
Mm-hmm. But as somebody with an Iranian background and somebody who holds a green card, this has got to be, I mean, it's got to be on your mind. It's got to be a source of some worries. I mean, there's at least one candidate in the field who's had some pretty significant things to say about that and not things that you welcome hearing.
I would side with Clinton more than Sanders, because I think that she would follow Obama's policies a little closer. So yeah. I tend to agree with him.
All right. Well, listen, Jason, thanks for checking with us today. Thanks for getting us started here on our Citizen Observer Day. We're going to go to somebody who's actually not one of our scheduled callers, because we do invite also people to use the phone lines, 860-275-7266. Here's Sharon from Danbury. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, how are you?
Good. You're on the air.
Good. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to share with you, I voted today in Danbury at the high school about 11 this morning, and there was about 8 people in line at the Democratic table and 0 at the Republican table, which kind of surprised me a little bit. But needless to say, when I cast my vote, and I will say for Hillary, the chills just came right over me. And when I left there, I had to choke back tears because I was excited and hopeful that she's going to be able to pull it out for us. But then I went to Panera Bread for lunch, and the girl that the cash register saw my I voted sticker, and she says, oh my gosh, she's like, I'm seeing so many people that voted today and they have their stickers on. She looked at me and she's like, cautiously, she says, I really hope you voted for my candidate. You know, she said it very hesitantly, and now I was curious as to who her candidate might be. And you know, I was afraid it was not going to be mine, and, you know, should I say anything or whatever? So I said, well, give me a hint as to who your candidate is so I can tell you if it's the same. And she says, very quietly, she whispers, like, not Trump. So I said, I just smiled and I looked and I said, no, not Trump. And so then I'm like, I really wanted to share with her who I voted for in hopes that, you know, we did have something in common. So I did say, I said, I voted for the woman, the one female candidate. And she just looked at me and smiled, and she says, me too.
All right. So I think that's a great story, Sharon. Thank you for sharing it. And I think little conversations like that go on all day like this, you know, and little moments where we wonder if we even dare talk to one another about these things. Well, thanks for calling in. Joining us now, I think she might have been on the first one we ever did here. It's Lara Herskovich, singer, songwriter, poet, policy social worker, former state troubadour, calling in from the southern part of the state. Welcome back to the Citizen Observer Show.
Thank you, Colin. Happy to be with you.
So what went through your mind or your soul or your inner tuning fork when you voted today?
Well, I love the story that just came from Danbury. I feel like instead of that undecided or unaffiliated box on each of the two ballots, it should just say not Trump. And we can all, like, there's one thing that some of us can agree on. I think what I'm noticing, and actually related to that story, is the very different reaction I'm having to some of my fellow citizens. I feel super proud going to the voting booth on really any day. And today was no different. I live in a sleepy rural community. And so, but I went there expecting a fight, right? I went there knowing I was going to be one of your citizen observers. So I was ready to have conversations with all of the many people who I expected would be there with posters and stickers and so on. I was ready to talk even to some of the who I've come to refer to as trumpets. And, you know, I stretched out, I was ready for a fight, but I'm reacting to others and much more cautiously about politics because with Pandora's political box being opened of anger and hate and racism and scapegoating to really kind of a fascinatingly unprecedented, at least in recent times, level, I feel like I just don't know what I'm going to get in response if I start that conversation. But I pulled around the corner into, you know, this tiny little elementary school, and there was nothing, there was really nobody there. The voting itself seemed really brisk. I had to be on a phone call for about an hour while I happened to be in the parking lot and noticed just a really steady stream of people, about 100 over the course of an hour, which for a tiny little rural community seemed really, really brisk. There was one tiny little lonely Kasich sign, one lonely Ted Cruz bumper sticker, one Bernie sticker. But other than that, it was pretty uneventful. This was the first time I participated in exit polling. There mm-hmm. was a woman there from Edison Research doing exit polling, formerly for all the major networks, CNN and NBC and the Associated Press and others. And so that was fun to sort of, I always wonder about that, mm-hmm. you know, when you watch reports and they cite exit poll numbers, I've always wondered who is weighing in on those surveys. And today I got to be one of those voices. So
that's right. Now you know they're not making the whole thing up. They actually do ask somebody.
Right.
Lara, so great to talk to you. You're part of the tradition of doing this show. Lara Herskovich, a singer-songwriter, former state troubadour, many other things besides as well. Hey, I want to say one thing, which is some of our booked guests, we probably skew a little bit Democrat. I hope some Republicans will call in. I hope some people who are voting in the Republican primary will call in. I hope people who voted for Trump will feel very free to call in. Our lines are kind of jammed up right now, but I'll try to get through some of these calls and get some room up there for you. 860-275-7266. You will be welcomed. You will be embraced. I mean, not physically, but don't feel like you can't call in. 860-275-7266. We love hearing about your opinions, too. You're really welcome here on Citizen Observer Day. Here's a quick call from Tom in Harwinton. Hi, Tom. You're on the air. You got there early, right?
I did get there early. And what I found interesting that was different from past experiences was, I got there around 5:30. There was already a bit of a line. I talked to a few people. It seemed like most of the people that were there early waiting were Trump voters like myself. Mm-hmm. And when the polls actually opened and you walked in, most of the people walked into the Republican side. So I had the opposite happening with my experience than that our caller did.
How did you feel voting today? I mean, it's a different kind of primary. We haven't seen anything like this before. I don't know. Some people get chills when they vote for the candidate of their choice. You heard that. Some people, I don't know. How did it feel to you? What were the vibrations like?
It felt good to vote for Trump. The Kasich-Cruz thing, a little plan there, is backfiring. I think it's just made people want to vote for Trump more. And I was happy that for once Connecticut's relevant.
Listen, thanks so much for calling in. I got my wish, and I hope I hear from some other people who are Trump voters or Kasich voters or Cruz voters. We want to hear from everybody today. I love the idea there's a line in Harwinton. I mean, that's kind of amazing when you think about it. Don't really think of that as a place where you have to get in line, except for, corn or something. Should we take a break? We'll take a break. No, we won't take a break. I'm looking at the screen and I'm making mistakes here. See, I get excited on election day. I'm pumped up here. Josh Pollack is going to join us right now. He's a minister, a Unitarian Universalist Society East in Manchester, and he's a resident of Glastonbury. He's been following this election closely and writing about it. Josh Pollack, thanks for calling in today.
Hey, Colin. Thanks for having me on.
So tell us what went through your mind or your soul when you voted today.
Well, first, I wanted to let you know that I had big plans to talk to the word is solicitors, the people who stand outside the polling place and have the signs and talk to you about the candidates if you're undecided. And my plans were to get some Dunkin' Donuts coffee and some donuts and bring those to them. And when I drove into the polling place, there was nobody there. There was literally nobody there. There was a John Kasich sign, mm-hmm. and there were two signs telling the solicitors to be 75 feet away from the entrance to the polling place. So I was really let down, and it was raining, but it was completely empty. There weren't even any voters going, and so there was no line. When I went in, it was, there were a few people voting, but when I actually voted, I was the only person at a machine mm-hmm. voting. And I don't know what to think about that. I just had bigger expectations, I thought there would be Bernie voters out there. I thought there would be Trump voters out there. And there was no one, so I didn't get to have any of the conversations that I was hoping to have.
But see, you came armed with coffee and donut love.
Yes.
And that was in your heart. That was in your soul. That's probably the important thing, even if you didn't find that many mouths to feed.
Yeah. No, I mean, I had this vision of talking to people and talking to – I'm a registered Democrat, but I wanted to pass out the coffee and donuts equally and have conversations with people and see what was making them tick and see what they were excited about.
All right. Well, you have to try again in November, I guess.
I guess I do.
This is just sort of the pilot. This is the dry run.
Yeah.
Or the wet run, since you brought coffee. But, Josh, thank you so much for calling in today. We're so happy to talk to people. We are really going to take a break here, but our number, if you want to call in, and I do have some Republicans calling in now, 860-275-7266. No one will be judged. 860-275-7266. You can also tweet at us, at WNPR Colin. What else do we want him to do? And you could email us, I guess, but just tweet us at WNPR.com. All right, we're back. It's a primary day, and for us that means it's Citizen Observer Day. We line up a bunch of citizens, and they're very diverse. They're diverse in their backgrounds and what they do, and we also invite you to be citizen observers. Tell us what you saw, what you felt, what it was like at your polling place today. Obviously, if you saw something go wrong, we would want to know about that, although it's just going to give Madam Secretary more headaches. But not just things going wrong, things going right, or just, I love the woman who called up and said she got chills. That's exactly what we're looking for here today. 860, I mean, provided it's not some communicable disease that's causing that. 860-275-7266. That's the number to call. 860-275-7266. You can also tweet at us at our tweetmaster, Greg Hill, at WNPR Colin. So we're going to get to Nick in Hartford in just a second because he's a Republican. We love to hear from everybody all over the ideological map. But Marianne has a very important call to make. This is something I can really relate to. Marianne from Newington, you're on the air.
Hi.
Tell us what was on your mind today.
Well, my thing, and it's not just this election, it's ever since they changed to the optical readers, I don't feel like I have a secret ballot anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the person standing next to the machine could easily, and I know they're probably bored and not paying much attention, but could easily look over and see who I voted for.
Well, also, there's something, even in the terminology, right? There's something inherently apprehension-provoking about the term optical scanner. I'm going to take my secret ballot and put it in an optical scanner. That just sounds like something that you wouldn't want to put it in, right?
Yeah, I suppose. But I don't know, they give you this manila folder that they call a privacy sleeve.
Privacy sleeve, yeah.
But it really doesn't do anything.
Look, first of all, I feel your pain or your apprehension. Although I will say, nobody's trying to look at your ballot. I can promise you that. You're absolutely right. The person standing by the machine is bored out of his or her mind. The last thing they care about is what little circles you colored in. So don't worry about that. But I also get that there's something kind of naked about this process. You know, you used to go to a booth and there was a curtain and you had that great steampunk machine. I loved that machine,
yeah.
You know, and it went clickety-clack, but there was nobody looking at you ever. Then you pulled the curtain, you came out. It was a little bit more like going to the bathroom. You know, you felt like you really had some kind of little moment, whereas now you're sort of exposed the entire time. And so even though I don't think it's any less private than it was before, it just feels that way, right?
Right.
All right. Well, what can I say? I know exactly what you're talking about, and you're not alone is what I want you to know. All right. Thanks for calling in. All right, let's go to Nick from Hartford. Welcome, by the way, to our Citizen Observer show. Here's Nick in Hartford. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. So what was it like for you voting today?
Well, many mixed emotions. I am a registered Republican, and my original plan was to vote for Ben Carson because he's a doctor, and I have the most respect for people who have actual hand skills. He does something. He did something. Not so much a politician who's just been talking their whole lives, but that's not possible now. So I will be voting for Trump. Mm-hmm. However, my ultimate plan is to vote for Bernie Sanders in the general election because I really do believe in Bernie mm-hmm. as an overall leader for America over Trump. But I will still vote for Trump because he's the best Republican candidate available.
I just want to say, okay, let's just go over this. You're a Republican in Hartford who's planning to vote for Trump, but you're ultimately a Bernie Sanders supporter. I would say, Nick, statistically, you don't exist. You know, I mean, Republican in Hartford is already, we've narrowed the field pretty small. Republican in Hartford who supports Bernie, you might be like the only person like you. That's got to be a good feeling.
It is, but it's a very exciting election because unlike previous elections in my life, I really do have choices. Yes, my initial choice, Ben Carson, is gone, but you have so many interesting choices left. Trump, people think he's evil. But he's a big businessman, and there's no doubt he makes money. Then you have Bernie, who's definitely for the people, and I am definitely for universal health care because our health care system is terrible, and I cannot afford it. Mm-hmm. So there's just good choices, and you can vote twice if you're registered, primary and then general.
Right. All right. Well, listen, yeah, it's like a Cheesecake Factory or something. Lots of things on the menu. I swear to God, that is the only – I'm the only journalist today who will talk to a Republican from Hartford, already a tiny group of people, who is voting for Trump in the primary with the expectation or hope of voting for Bernie Sanders in the general election. That's got to be, I mean, he could be in a diorama when this is all over. All right, here's this is one of our scheduled guests, Charlotte Ross, who's co-owner of Sweet Acre Farm in Lebanon. I hate to play favorites with farms, but I really do love this farm and the stuff that they grow here, but that's not really what we're talking about today. We're talking about what it's like to be a farmer and getting up early and casting your vote. So, Charlotte, welcome to the airwaves.
Hey, thanks, Colin. Happy election day.
Happy primary day indeed. So, tell me how you felt or what you saw or what the experience of voting out there in Eastern Connecticut was like for you today.
Right. Well, we had some spinach to get in the ground this morning, so we went at the lunch rush, which really wasn't much of a rush. I wish I had more drama to report, but there were no brawls in the parking lot or anything. But it was very civil, lots of smiles in the parking lot, people holding doors, and it was quick. It wasn't jam-packed or anything. I did get to talk to the registrar at the end there. She was giving me my I voted sticker. And she said that by 12:15, the time I voted, there were 516 people who had voted as opposed to 600 all day the last time. So definitely more of a turnout. Yeah, and she thought that people had come with more of a purpose. There was a lot less apathy, which I think probably, it actually matters to vote in the Connecticut primary for for once. So, yeah, people feeling pretty excited, I guess.
They say if you can get the early turnout numbers in Lebanon, Connecticut, you can predict a lot of things. So.
Farm country, you know.
Yeah, I'd say we're now ahead of the curve. We're pretty much ahead of the rest of the Eastern press establishment. So, Charlotte, good luck with the spinach. I can't wait to eat the spinach. I will be buying and eating the spinach.
Thanks a lot. Yep. Nice early spring. Good start.
Okay. Thanks. And I like the idea there were smiles and people holding doors because, I mean, you know, ultimately, even though we have these huge differences this year and there just couldn't be a wider continuum of candidates. You know, this is still, I don't know, we all have to live in this country together. So I like the idea that people are experiencing, they're exercising their civic options and at the same time engaging in a civic ritual with a certain amount of bonhomie. All right. So, I think we should go to one of our other scheduled guests here. We got a lot of calls on the board. So Alex from Glastonbury, James from Monroe, Kelly from North Stonington, Ruth from Sandy Hook. I see you all. I will get to you as quickly as possible. But making his second appearance right now on our Citizen Observer show is Michael Motion. He is an art juggler, performing artist. He's a MacArthur Genius Grant recipient. We had to have one genius on the show today, one certified genius. He is one of the most important jugglers ever and is responsible for techniques that didn't exist before he invented them. So that's pretty exciting just to have you on again. And it's really exciting to hear about you exercising your right to vote. So how did that go today?
It went great. And the voting, you know, you think you're going to walk out the door and vote for, you know, the primary presidential candidates, and all of a sudden real life hits you square in the face. And you know, it took me about half, took me 5 minutes to get to the polling place, and then about another half an hour to go the last 100 feet.
Yeah.
Because of the conversations with local people about stuff, local stuff, and this and that, and it was great talking about everything from cell phone coverage and cell phones, and rewiring the brain, and everything else. And in the voting process, it was very simple, very friendly, and similar to a previous guest. Not a lot of activity, but really a simple process. And apparently, I did ask the registrar there, and they said there was a big rush between 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock this morning for some reason. But then coming out of that, then happening going home, and then happening upon a friend, an older friend who had a flat tire, and a stranger had started to help fix the tire, and so I joined in. And then driving him to the local garage and doing the whole thing. You know, I thought I was going out for a 10-minute jaunt, and I was out for an hour and a half.
Well, you live in a small town. You're like in Cornwall or one
right,
of those places,
Cornwall,
right?
Northwest corner.
So it's one of those towns, right? You go to the polling place. You don't see a lot of strangers. You probably see people you know.
Well, most often there's people that I know who they are in town, even if I don't know them well.
Yeah.
But, you know, and the last time, a couple of years ago for the election, there were all sorts of signs and everything. No signs. The only sign up was the sign telling you that 75 feet in, there aren't going to be any more signs.
Right. That's a sign telling you when the sign's in. All right.
Yeah.
Well, listen, it's great to hear your voice again.
Oh, thank you.
And great to have you be part of this tradition. I'll hope you'll come back in November.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
All right. Bye. So, I like that idea, though, that you leave to go vote. You're gone for 90 minutes. You fix a flat tire. You talk to people about cell phone problems out in Cornwall, Connecticut. This is part of this day, is people gathering and talking to one another. All right. So here's a Kelly calling in from North Stonington. Hi, Kelly. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Talk to me.
So I'm young, I guess, as far as voting goes. I'm late 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've only voted twice in elections. Presidential election. So this is not common for me. I was kind of scared.
Yeah.
I went into town and there wasn't, like you guys keep hearing on your show, there's nobody there.
Yeah.
But except for the people helping to run the polls.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all dressed the same. They were very cheerful. And as I walked in through the front door, I heard them say behind me as I'm walking through, because we just moved here.
Mm-hmm.
They said, a lot of new people this time. And the other one said, yeah. And everyone was very cheerful.
Mm.
I've having never done a primary before, because I've done elections but not primaries, I was surprised that I had to go to my table. It almost was like I was proclaiming as I walked to my table that I was that party.
You were one thing or another. So you said you were a little apprehensive or a little scared. What would make you scared about that?
I guess it's just because this seems big to me.
Yeah. Highly charged.
It's important.
Yeah, highly charged.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually when people in North Stonington are scared, it's because of mountain lions.
yes. Where I live, yes, we do have those.
Yeah.
Up here. But
they
we
can't
don't
vote.
Talk about that.
Yeah, we
don't
can't they about. We can't vote. We talked to one of them last election. They can't vote. But anyway, it went okay. You got through it. You'll never have to be afraid again, right?
I don't know. Ask me in another 4 years.
All right. Well, then we'll talk to you in November. Give us a call. All right. But it was primaries. It has something to do with primaries. That was making you nervous. All right. So maybe we will have to wait 4 years. Thanks for calling in, Kelly.
All right. Take care.
All right. So we'd be happy to hear from you. And by you, I mean you. You can call in at 860-275-7266. Stephanie Reif's doing a great job with the phone city. She's got a lot of phone calls to take, and she's just getting them all up on the board. That's great. We'd also love to hear from you on the Twitters, at WNPRColin. That's at WNPRColin. And you can just send us ESP messages, however you want to communicate. Those are the two best ways, though, calling or Twitter. So why don't we take a quick break, then we'll come back. We've got a couple of more scheduled guests, and we've got a lot of people on the board. Alex, Katarina, Adam, Mark's one of the scheduled guests. All right.
Just give me something. Just give me something worth voting for.
Where's the against button? You should be able to press a button to vote against somebody. And why does this voting machine look so much like a soda machine? Today's show was produced by Betsy Kaplan and me, Kyone Wolf. Greg Hill appeared in the intro and tweets for us at WNPR Colin. Our interns are Stephanie Reif and Ross Levin. The part of Bill Curry was played by Mike Huckabee. For show pages, articles, and the voting records of the Here and Now staff, go to our website, wnpr.org/Colin. On tomorrow's show, let's take a break from humans and talk about aliens. And now, back to Colin.
Yeah, we're going to do a show tomorrow. What if there were a first contact? You know, what if we had that thing happen? One of our guests is Paul Davies, who I think is the guy they call if there's first contact. And then I think he's the guy who calls the president or something and says, we've got first contact. So, I mean, you know, you can't get any more frontline than that. But we're also going to be talking about the theological implications and how science fiction writers have imagined this kind of thing to go. We have a panoply and a plethora of guests to talk about this. And we figured you might need a break from, you know, like this, as exciting and fun as this is. And I also want to mention tonight from 8 to 9, Mr. Dankosky and I will be on the air with an election special coverage. I don't know how much we'll be able to tell you by 9 about exactly how things went, but particularly with the Democratic side, it's proportional. It's hard to pin that down. We'll give you a general sense of how things are going, though. We'll have some guests, talk about turnout, talk about other issues as well. Then we'll be back tomorrow at 9 o'clock in the morning with the Wheelhouse. And then that'll be me and Mr. Dankosky and Bill Curry and Kalila Brown-Dean. So we have so much political coverage for you. And then we're going to switch to extraterrestrial. Because we kind of have to at that point. You know who used to be on this show? I just have to take a moment here. You know who was on our last Citizen Observer show? I was checking the notes. Speaking of mountain lions, and obviously, poor Kelly. I mean, North Stonington is just infested with mountain lions. But we had the Greenwich Mountain Lion. This is like this woman who had this Twitter account, the Greenwich Mountain Lion. And she kind of had this kind of Tennessee accent. She'd talk about being a mountain lion. And she was great. And then we don't have any way of contacting her. The Twitter account is inactive, and she's disappeared in every other possible way. So if you know the Greenwich Mountain Lion, tell her to call in or get in touch or something. We need to speak to her again. All right. So meanwhile, our number is 860-275-7266. And we especially encourage you to use the Twitters at WNPR Colin and then follow that account so you can see apparently there's a lot of tweeting going on at WNPR Colin. So that might be an important Twitter feed for you to know about. So all kinds of people to talk to. We've got two of our scheduled guests here, Mark Saunders and Lenny Grimaldi. We always have to have Lenny Grimaldi on this show. We also want to have Lenny Grimaldi on this show. He's our special Bridgeboard correspondent. Let me just talk to another Trump voter, and then we'll talk to Mark. We'll take some of your other calls. Here's Adam from West Hartford. Hi, Adam.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
That was a maniacal
laugh, Adam.
I totally never expected to be on the radio.
Yeah.
I thought I would just call because I was driving.
All right. Well, I hope you're not driving. I mean, hands-free and all that stuff. We don't want you to. And I hear
I'm a big proponent of the headset.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. All right. So tell us about voting.
Well, I went to my town hall in West Hartford at 6 o'clock this morning, or 6:45, and it was brisk. It was very friendly. I actually broke down and voted for Trump. I really didn't want to, but I'm a Republican. I couldn't vote any other way, and I really didn't want to vote for him, but I didn't see another option. I'm a young guy, and it's different, and I hope he changes things up, but I really hope he doesn't get elected.
All right. So that's a weird feeling. That's such a strange feeling, voting for somebody you hope doesn't get it. Were there a lot of people there?
There was about 10.
That's not a lot.
When I was pulling up, people were coming in and out, and as I was leaving, there was a fair amount of people coming in.
All right.
My wife just voted. She said there was basically no line.
Yeah. So. All right. So I don't know. The secretary thinks there's going to be a big turnout today. We're not so sure. We're going to go to a couple more of our scheduled guests. Let's go to Lenny right now. We haven't really heard from downstate anyway. Lenny Grimaldi has been with us since we started this whole idea many years ago. He's a very busy man on election days and primary days. He's a journalist and the founder of Only in Bridgeport. So, Lenny, Bridgeport is always an entity unto itself. That's why it's called Only in Bridgeport. So how's voting in Bridgeport today?
Well, you know, it's Bridgeport, so if you ever do a show on alien life forms, it's perfect for city politics.
Right.
You know, it's crickets today.
Yeah, really?
You know, you may recall in 2010, I don't want to jinx it, you know, we were talking around noon at 2010 during the governor's race, and I said, everything's just fine. 5 minutes later, I hang up the phones, and all hell breaks loose because they ran out of ballots.
Right.
Well, that won't happen anymore because it's one ballot per voter. So, but this is pretty sleepy. It's very, very quiet. You know, Bridgeport has this legendary vaulted absentee ballot operation for local races. Well, it hasn't materialized at all.
Yeah.
You know, Bridgeport, for most of the rank and file politicians, unless there's something in it for them, they're not working.
Right.
So there's really not a whole lot in this for them. There's not a lot of, you know, money to go around. There's not a lot of jobs on the line. So, you know, they're not working it. So absentee ballot operations for a municipal, you might have 2,000.
Right.
So for this, it's like a couple hundred.
Yeah.
It's pretty quiet.
Right. So Bridgeport is like Templeton in Charlotte's Web. There's got to be something in it for Bridgeport. And it's a sense. Although it's kind of, there was a lot of activity right there. You had candidates coming through anyway, using the Klein, using, places
like
that.
Yeah, it was great for University of Bridgeport, the Klein Memorial. They're great venues. The turnouts, for those events were pretty good. But, it comes down to, partially it's up to the candidates to inspire voters as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, nothing can top last year with Joe Gamm's comeback in Bridgeport. I mean, I've covered a lot of kooky races.
Yeah. Maybe you guys are just exhausted. That could be. You could be just exhausted from your municipal election last year. People are just too fried to vote in this.
Yeah, there could be a little culture shock that said some people are still can't believe what happened.
They're still sleeping it off. Yeah.
Life goes on, and it's fun for me.
Yeah.
And this has been a crazy cycle, interesting cycle for me, too, because I did PR for Donald Trump for 4 years.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. So yeah. I know the animal.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a fascination to watch him get this far. I didn't really think he would.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he would implode along the way.
Yeah.
And because he has attracted a narrow band of, emotional people, as I like to say about Donald. He's not a Republican. He's not a Democrat. Mm-hmm. Donald's a demagogue.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very effective at that, and he's got a narrow band that's got him through this process. And we'll see, assuming he's the Republican nominee, if he can pivot to a more broader audience. It's going to be difficult for him, but we'll see.
I actually think I've been telling people that he may run in Connecticut in a general a lot like John Rowland, in the sense that Rowland could pull from conservative Democrats, he could pull from a lot of unaffiliateds, and then he could pull from Republicans. And, Trump may never get the kind of general election numbers that Rowland could get, but they have that sort of, fish in three ponds thing going on for them.
Well, the thing about Rowland when he ran the first time and he got reelected with some big numbers, twice, right?
Yeah.
Thing about Trump, he's got a female problem.
Right.
He's got a big problem with female voters. Mm-hmm. And as I say, having done a bunch of races, guys are easy. Mm-hmm. You raise my taxes, I punch you in the nose. Women, they filter information all much different.
Yeah.
He's got work to do there.
All right. Lenny Grimaldi, so great to talk to you. Wouldn't be a primary day or an election without a visit from Lenny. Let's talk to a proud supporter right now, then, a proud Trump supporter, that is. Here's Bill from Oxford. I asked you guys to call in, and you've risen to the challenge. Hi, Bill.
How's it going, Colin?
Good. What was the experience like for you? How's primary day for you?
It's going pretty well. Proud Trump supporter. I was really proud to see that Trump was the only placards on the way into the voting booth.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up to it, they were the only ones on the road. As a mid-20-year-old who's served overseas, I'm really, really glad to see somebody stop the political correctness and tell the world what they need to hear.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of Trump signs, and he is good at putting his name on stuff. He has a lot of practice at that. So that's thanks for that report. We're going to go to Mark Saunders in just a second here. He's a musician from Bloomfield. He's been on our show before. Before I do that, I just want to quickly say one thing. I haven't heard a call about this, but apparently we're getting a lot of tweets about it, and people are maybe leaving messages as they call in. And one of the frustrations today, and this was dealt with in a very interesting way today on Where We Live, a lot of people are frustrated because they can't vote because they're independents. These are closed primaries, both closed primaries. And a lot of people didn't know that, so they're finding it out at the last minute. I would say that that's sort of part of your responsibility is to know that. I mean, if you care enough to want to vote, you probably should know what the rules are. But anyway, I understand that it's frustrating if you want to stay unaffiliated and you can't vote. That's got to be a sore spot for you. So, yeah, we're getting a lot of tweets that say that. I just wanted to make sure that viewpoint got represented because it's not in the calls we've taken so far. All right, let's go to Mark Saunders. He's a musician from Bloomfield. He's been on the show before, but not as a citizen observer on primary day. So, Mark, how was it for you today? How was it when you went to your polling place?
Well, I'm in sleepy town of Bloomfield, and it's it was actually, I surprised myself. I got in the car on my way down and came across a T intersection with one of those islands in the middle with flowers and whatever, and there was a Trump sign, and I found myself stopping the car and turning around and going back and tearing it down because you can't have that kind of stuff on public property. And so that was my first vote.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was pretty sleepy. Mm-hmm. I was surprised to not see many people at all at the polls when I went. There was a Duncaster bus, so one of the senior citizen buses that was out and loading people in and out. But that's it. Walked in, had a very simple vote. I'm looking at my my sticker now. It says my vote counts, mm-hmm. and I hope it does.
Well, it definitely does. It definitely counts. Mark Saunders, thanks so much for calling in. We have two musicians among our citizen observers this year. We got a lot of calls on the board. I want to make sure we get to some. Rosemary from Granby. I think we're about to hear from our first Kasich voter. Hi, Rosemary. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. I'm like the guy from Hartford that you thought was so rare.
Yeah.
I am a registered Republican. I did try to change my registration, but I was too late.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and voted for John Kasich, but I'm going to be voting for Bernie Sanders in the general election.
Now, some people would say that there's, you're not quite as much of a statistical outlier as Nick was, but it's hard to see the overlap between Kasich and Bernie. But I guess among the Republican field, you're kind of looking for the person who's the most reasonable, something like that?
Looking for the person who is Bernie Sanders. You know, there's a lot of positions he has that I don't agree with because I'm, a devout practicing Catholic. I'm pro-life. But his views on a moral economy that is on a human scale and serves human beings rather than serving the almighty dollar is just... It just really speaks to me, and I just think that I think he's really terrific.
I'm wondering how many people there are like you and like Nick, people who are Republicans who look forward to an opportunity to vote for Bernie Sanders. I didn't think I would hear that much about that today, but boy, thanks for calling in, Rosemary. That's great. So where is he? Okay, I'm going to look here. I think we got a first-time voter here. Here's Patrick in Glastonbury. Hi, Patrick. You're on the air.
Hi, Colin.
Tell us about voting. This is your first time?
Yeah, this is my first time voting. I'm 18 years old.
Yeah. So tell us how that felt.
It was very interesting and a little weird. Just like a lot of people have been saying, there's really no one there.
Uh-huh.
I saw a few signs, Kasich, Trump, Cruz. I actually saw looked like a hand-drawn Bernie Sanders sign up stapled to a telephone pole. But I walked in, I saw the Democrat-Republican line. I went to the Democrat. I was, checked, walked in, got my ballot. There's just one thing on the ballot. Put Bernie Sanders. I submit my ballot, and then I walk out. It was so simple. I'm nervous, I feel like I did something wrong.
It should have taken more steps somehow. You should have had to write a little essay or something.
It felt just too quick.
Or no, it's fine. You did fine. That's how you vote. I mean, you didn't skip any steps. So, congratulations, first of all. Yeah, and so as we're running out of time here, I do want to say one thing. I'm a little alarmed by all this talk about how sleepy things are, particularly because here in Connecticut, all we've ever done is complain about the fact that our primaries are irrelevant for the most part. Year after year, cycle after cycle, we have these primaries and they don't matter, And so there's less of an incentive to vote because, our delegates aren't going to matter or the whole thing's all over, but they're shouting. So here you have on both sides still quite a bit in play. Obviously on the Republican side, although we don't send a lot of delegates to the convention, only 28 of them and 3 of them are superdelegates. But still, those delegates could really, really matter. And on the Democratic side, we send more delegates, 71, I believe, and they could matter even on the proportional basis. It all could matter quite a bit. So, let's get out there. We don't want to have like this. We finally got something. We got something to vote for, something to live for. We better get out there. We better turn out. All right. So we'll be talking to you again at 8 p.m. tonight. Join me and Mr. Dankosky and a bunch of other guests, and then come back and talk to us some more about the primary at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Other than that, it's going to be extraterrestrials and things like that.
I have to play them dirty politics. Politics, oh, politics. You gotta know just how to vote. Kiss that baby, shine that shoe. If you know what's good for you, you got to play them politics.
Well, I said I wanted to vote for Kasich, and all I get out of this vending machine is a box of milk duds?
I'll take it.